Hey, hi guys, welcome to the 17th Jan 2024 meeting of SMO. Today we have mainly two topics to discuss. One topic which we also planned was coming from the NIFIO OSCE collaboration with the SMO work. Okay, that is something which we couldn't do because Sagar could not join today. Sagar sent me a message that his flight got delayed and he's stuck at the airport where he doesn't have a proper connection at all. So having that in mind, today's topic would be mainly on the CI/CD, which Luis will be presenting, and followed by that would be the discussion for the next release, that is J release, on how we have to proceed. Having said that, Luis, I want to hand over the control to you. 1 minute. Luis, you have something to share, right? Yeah, we are able to schedule. Yeah, go ahead, Luis.
Thank you, Xiao. See my
Yeah,
screen.
I see your screen. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so today we will share our update about the ITDP SMO deployment project. So there are two parts. One is for upgrade ONAP to Monkshot release, and another one is improve Orin OM or the Narrative Rig Hem charts. Okay, so first is to we upgrade the ONAP OM in ITDP to Monkshot release. So ITDP project use hem charts from the ONAP OM project to deploy ONAP related components. And the project including the ONAP OM project as a Git sub module in the ITDP core base. And the last time update for this sub-module was November 2022. So with the ONAP J release. This release was released at June 2022. So the problem is that before ONAP London release, ONAP used this component to provide certificates for all ONAP components. And the AF is deprecated. So, and the problem is that the embedded certificates in the ONAP OM and the other component Docker image was expired at August last year. So, this caused the ONAP J release cannot be deployed since without this certificate. So, we think it's time to upgrade the ONAP OM sub module in ITDP to the latest ONAP release. So we try to move the ONAP OM to the Monkshot release. But we have a problem that,
Luis,
hey,
here, just 1 minute. Guys, are aware of ONAP? You know what is OM project and AF project of ONAP? Does everyone know what is ONAP, AF, and OM projects? This is very critical for us to proceed on. So I just want to be sure that all of us understand it. Please be sure that you understand this before we proceed on.
also,
Yeah.
ONAP OM is a project that provides ONAP hem charts.
Yeah, thanks, Luis. Maybe you can give an introduction on that. Yeah, please go ahead.
So the ONAP OM project provide all hem charts to deploy ONAP components. And since OSCE reuse many ONAP components, so the ITDP project directly use the hem charts from ONAP OM.
Yeah, I just want to, I mean, Luis, with your permission, I want to just take 5 minutes on this and give a little intro. Is it okay, Luis?
Oh, 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. I mean, I just want to talk about these two projects, AAF and ONAP, and I'll hand over to you so that people, all of us are on the same page, okay? So basically, when we started ONAP, right, back in 2017, we were looking at different ways of containerization. So ONAP, when it started, was an OpenStack-based project. Then we moved into the Helm-based deployments, and that's the involvement of ON. Okay, so operations manager of OpenApp is actually the project which was related to all the Helm charts. That is a project which will be used for deployment. Okay, when we say deployment, it is the project which is responsible for holding all the deployment modules, that is Helm charts of all the other projects of all other modules of ONAP. And every project had its own Helm chart, which were stored under OM repository. That's how OM came into picture. So when we were doing this, we found that we required authorization. We also required the AAF AAA part, the certification, the mutual communication between these projects, the ER modules of it, where we required SSL, all the security part of it came into picture. So for that, we required one more project, which actually will take care of the certificates and all. That was AAF. Okay. So, but the problem with AAF was short-lived in ONAP. And it so happened that after a few releases, some of the modules, some of the projects were AAF compatible, some of them were not. So we had a big issue with respect to how we'll be able to move together with respect to one specific stream, which is understood by everyone, so that we don't have the problem with certificates. So that's exactly what he was talking about. This ONAP Jakarta release cannot be deployed without this certificate, right? Because the certificate expired in August 2023. And then we found that most of the projects which are inlined or which have already been imbibed with AAF were to be we have to be revoked. The other projects like SO, we made sure that SO does not go with AAF, because I was sure that AAF will not be long lived. We understood it a few releases back. So we said, instead of going with AAF, we were waiting for it, a complete cloud native way of doing the, this thing. That's for service mesh way, okay? The service mesh way of having the certificates and all. So when we had this sort of thing, some projects were AAF based, some people were not. So they, we had a big issue with respect to how will we do it. So the current problem, which Louis, my friend, is actually explaining here, is about having a common track or common platform across all these modules of ONAP, all these projects of ONAP, so that they can actually have intercommunication. They can actually have a smooth ER, external interfaces requirement, where we will actually have a certificate-based authentication. So that is a problem statement, which is actually what has been solved. Okay. Luis, you want to add anything on that? So far, this is the background of this statement, which I wanted to just talk about. So what, when we say AAF, OM, there are two projects of ONAP. OM is a project which is helping us to deploy ONAP components. AAF was a project. It was a project which was there before for authentication purpose, which used to be certificate manager also. Part of it was also to do certificate management. Now AAF is deprecated at the point which Luis is highlighting right now. And OM is a project which is actually giving you alternative solution for that. Okay. So that is the background. And over to you, Luis. Yeah. Thank you. Luis? Yeah. Thank you.
But we have a problem that is, has the ONAP ONAP project already, Monsho release already finished its release cycle, because we some documents show that we have Monsho release, but in the documents such as release history, it show that this Monsho release is not released yet. So we are not really sure has this release already finished. We are not sure if somebody here are familiar with the ONAP release cycle and has them finished their release or not.
You're asking this question right now to me or to the audience?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yes.
Okay. ONAP Montreal release has been finished. This was released. It was M release, which was released a few years back. I would say last year's when 2023. Yeah, last year's when M release has been planned, and we also have signed off this in TSC. They have also signed off the Montreal release. That was last year's release, right? By December, I think it was signed. The release package availability part, I need to recheck. We have to check with the TSC, but that is where it stands with respect to ONAP Montreal. Luis, hello.
So I think with the upgrade to Montreal release is okay now.
We have to, I'm saying we have to better check with the TSC once, because we have signed it off. Okay. The current release status of it and all, we have to get it from integration team once. We better check with the integration team, and so that we get the authentication on whether we use it or not. Okay.
One common issue is ONAP, the concept of a release is not as strong as it was before.
Yes.
So ONAP is now has this model that you have individual projects can be autonomous. And so the notion that a particular release has integration testing for all components, that it's not as strong now. So
Agreed. And that is the very reason why I'm saying that I cannot comment on whether the complete release is available, right? Guys, 1 minute. I'm getting a call. It's urgent. Sorry for that. Yeah, I think it's cut. Yeah. So basically, what I'm trying to say is same thing what Shankar is saying, Luis. So we have to check the TSC with respect to what projects are ready for Montreal. I can commit for SO. SO was released for Montreal, but other projects of it, we have to check with the TSC to make sure that it's all intact. Luis.
So we need to wait the TSC to
Yeah,
finish the
you
integration
can send a
test.
mail. You can
Okay.
send a mail to the ONAP TSC group, and we can get the confirmation about whether we have to go with the Montreal release or release before that to test this. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but you'll be covering the CI/CD part, right, Luis?
What?
Hello?
So, sorry, I didn't hear what you say.
I thought you'll also be covering the CI/CD part. You have made the DevOps part also, right? On top of this.
Today we won't share about the CI/CD part, just about what we have done in the ITDP project.
Okay. Actually, my
Okay.
request was also to have a view on the CI/CD part which you did, so that we can understand something and also imbibe that into the OSC. Let me know when you can actually do that presentation also.
Because we think that before we
Luis,
build, yeah.
please proceed. Just go ahead to present what you
Okay.
have done.
Okay,
Yes.
it's written down. Thank you. Thanks. Okay.
Okay. So next we will go through what has changed in ONMO and from the Jet release to Montreal release. The first one is they upgrade the Kubernetes version from 1.23 to 1.37, 27. And they deprecate the AF. So after the London release, ONAP use surface mesh for TLS. And so the HTTPS will not be used in the to communicate between ONAP components. And by default, the message router no longer is post no port, but we think most user of the ITDP need this port to test the message router. So we modify the HAMR override to expose this port for testing. And then the StreamC operator is upgrade from the 0.28 to 0.36.1. And in this upgrade, they add the node part NT interface to avoid deploying the replica nodes for the StreamZ on the same node. But I think for most user for ITDP, they just deploy single node Kubernetes for test. So we change the replica counts in the HAMR override from 3 to 1 to just deploy one pod for StreamZ. And on the Montreal release introduce MariaDB operator to manage the MariaDB gallery, Galera. But we think this is not necessary, and so we disable the use of MariaDB operator and deploy the MariaDB as usual.
So it will be only one instance of MariaDB. It will not be a cluster right now, right?
What?
I mean, by this,
Yeah,
it will not be
just one
one
instance
instance.
of
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
just.
Okay.
And here, there are other changes about non-RTRC. First, we change the non-RTRC config about the message router, A1 policy management service, and the SDNC endpoint from HTTPS to HTTP. Since they don't use AF, so they won't provide the HTTPS endpoint for us to use. And then we remove the unnecessary dependency for non-RTRC ORU Helm chart. The ORU use use the ONAP common cert initer and just these hem charts to chart the AF certificate. But since AF is deprecated, so we no longer need this AF. We no longer need this hem charts. Also, Nautilus Audio F ICS version has these dependencies. And just as the ORU, just like ORU, they no longer need these dependencies. So we remove this. And we disable the DMAP data router. By default, we disable this component because we think because current OSML doesn't now use this component. And we disable the policy. We try to disable the policy framework, but but it seems that Nautilus DME use this component, so we will change to enable this component. And one problem we found is that it seems that ONAP is planning to deprecate the message router. Since the message router was used to expose the HTTP interface for Kafka and StreamZ, but StreamZ introduced their own component that Kafka Bridge, which can replace the DMAP message router to provide a native HTTP interface for Kafka. So if ONAP plan to deprecate the message router in the future, might influence OSC because OSC some OSC components such as DMAT mediator and other DMA adapter and other components are depend on DMA are depend on DMAP. So if we want to follow the ONAP, maybe we need to change this component in the future. Okay, so this is all for the ONAP upgrade. And the second part is for Nautilus hem chart improvement. And we think there are two problems for current version of Nautilus or the OREOM hem charts. The first problem is that although there is a hem chart called Nautilus common to provide the common templates, but this hem chart doesn't provide real reusable template. They just move the name for the other chart to the same hem chart. So it is not really reusable. So we modify the Nautilus common to provide really reusable template for other hem chart projects. And the second problem is that the most contents in ONAP Nautilus hem charts are hard code. I mean the such as the configuration. Most Nautilus components has a configuration called application config. But if we want to modify the application configuration, we need to directly modify the content for these hem charts and rebuild those hem charts. So we cannot, so we, our modifiers move the content for this configuration to values, to hem chart values. So we can just modify the values with to update this configuration without rebuild the charts. And we have a problem is that we want to know why there are two Nautilus hem charts exist in the ITDP projects. One is Nautilus, one path is ITDP Nautilus hem chart, and then another is ITDP SMO install OREOM. These two parts seems almost the same and just a little different. We are not sure why there are two same things.
Luz, do you want me to address those questions now or take them at the end?
Yeah.
Whichever.
Maybe now.
Okay, grand. Okay, so the One thing to bear in mind, though, is that the first, let me take the second one first. Why is there two sets of Helm charts? One is that we do not see that every case that the non-RT-RIC functions will always be all deployed in a single deployment. We would like to be able to support flexible deployment of parts of the non-RT-RIC functions. And by moving a lot of the configuration back into common, it means that you've a lot of well, where that's done correctly, that's fine, and we should and could have done that a bit better. But we don't want overlapping between the individual functions charts if we can, so we can deploy them individually. So that's one thing. The SMO install we always saw as the place where you would put the common deployment of a platform, whereas the ones that are in ITdeb slash non-RT-RIC are the more specific and flexible for doing different types of deployments. If now that's something that we saw as well in, for instance, in OOM, in ONAP, is that if you only have a single set of Helm charts and they're very controlled what you can and can't do with those, and you're forced into using a bunch of common templates, and that really restricts your ability to be flexible in standalone deployments. So we want to have both. We want to be able to deploy as part of a large SMO deployment and be able to have the flexibility of doing more advanced deployments of individual parts standalone. And we plan to keep it that way if we can. If you want, we can move those non-RT-RIC Helm charts back into the non-RT-RIC repo. But we do want to be able to keep standalone charts for the individual non-RT-RIC functions. Okay, so the issue then with the configurations being hard-coded in the Helm charts, again, that's kind of a carryover from the previous comment of, the first version of the SMO install Helm charts were just a copy of the more flexible non-RT-RIC ones. So we can and should, and you already have done a lot of work about consolidating them into be more streamlined together along with the other charts. So we're working through the reviews on those at the minute to see where we can use common templates, but in some cases we do need function-specific charts. Because these things kind of they grow organically. So there are some cases where we do something slightly differently in the different charts. So that's that one. Your comment then about configuration specifically around the application config, where we refer to a statically coded configuration file and the path to that is hard-coded, for instance, into a config map, we do have cases where by changing the backing file, we're able to change the configuration on the fly without having to even stop or start the function. So while it's bootstrapped with a static configuration, it then can be configured on the fly. Where that isn't backed by file or a proper persistent store configuration, we would then lose that configuration when the function restarts, the dynamic configuration. So we've been trying to trade off the advantages of having static bootstrap configurations and then with dynamic runtime configurations that are persisted. So like I say, we're working through the review at the moment to see where we need something a little bit more than what you're suggesting in the common template. But we'll come back with more concrete proposals over the review process. Okay. There was some other. Oh, yeah. Can I go back maybe to the previous slide as well, where you talk about the non the okay. So DMAP, we're fully supporting removing the message router. We have a couple of functions that have dependencies on DMAP, but they're more those dependencies have to stay until DMAP goes away. As soon as DMAP, we don't they're not blockers for DMAP. DMAP is a blocker for them, if you know what I mean. So as soon as DMAP goes away, we can remove those dependencies. So don't it's not a requirement, it's
What
a
sort of
dependency.
dependencies are that? What sort of dependencies are that, John?
Like for instance, we have a function, we've two actually, DMAP adapter functions, which take messages directly from DMAP and put them onto, make them available as DME jobs. The So as long as there's something producing DMAP, we need to have that adapter to consume it. As soon as DMAP goes away, we don't need that adapter anymore. We did also implement the adapter in such a way that it's not just DMAP, it also acts, there's different configure. It's called the DMAP adapter, but it also acts as a Kafka adapter and a few other things as well, file adapter. So we just need to remove the DMAP bit out of it when DMAP goes away. But it's we're there to support DMAP, not requiring DMAP. Okay, so as soon as that goes away, good. The removing of the DMAP DR is perfect, good. The removal of all the AAF stuff is good as well. We're perfectly happy to see that happening. The AAF one is an example, though, of where we need to, where we need to have separate other charts for being able to deploy non-RTRIC standalone functions. We would like to be able to support non-RTRIC functions in different types of service meshes, for example. So we don't want to have a dependency on an SMO service mesh to be able to deploy standalone non-RTRIC functions. So that's an example of where we need to have separate charts. But yeah, AAF gone good. That's and having everything just exposing HTTP with the H with the security being taken on by the underlying service mesh. That's perfect. Good, good, good. We can also completely remove the existing apps, the ODU app, the ORU app, and even the health check app. They're old and deprecated now. Well, will be deprecated, so we can remove those now. So that will hopefully make life a lot easier as well. Okay, so and actually, and I didn't say it at the very start. Thank you so much, Lewis, for doing this. It's a huge amount of work. And so I don't mean to sound critical. I'm absolutely not. I'm serious. Congratulations and thank you for the work you're doing.
Well, I mean, I wanted him to complete it, but thanks a lot, Johnny, for pitching on
Yeah.
that. Yeah,
Yeah.
please, maybe you can continue with your slides and then we will have other questions. You have further to
Well,
add in.
I have a small problem I want to ask. That we found that there are two projects about the DMAP. One is DMAP adapter, another is one is DMAP mediator producer. What's
Yeah.
different between these two projects, or just a history?
Very little. They're both do very similar functionality. Is one's developed in Go and one's developed in Java. They're intended as samples of adapter functions to kind of to suck data from different sources and put them into make them available as DME jobs. So they're the same, basically. Two
Okay,
implementations of the same function,
thanks.
which I know,
Okay, okay,
which is a little bit embarrassing, having two functions that do the same
okay.
thing. But yes, they are the same thing. Just two different implementations. Or let me put or a positive way of putting it is there are two different sample implementations that people can use as inspiration to build their own ones.
Wow. You're a great marketing guy, actually, John.
Yeah, that's how you make something really poor sound positive. We shouldn't have two implementations of the same thing. Yes, correct.
Okay, so let me continue. And besides improve the helm chart, we also fix some problem about the non-RTRIC. One is that
Luis,
DMAP mediator.
before we go, I may have a question on this, please, Luis, and also
Okay.
the gentleman on this. So one thing is, when you were doing this, I mean, when you were migrating this, so did you had any challenges with respect to this? I wanted to also check the challenges that you had. I understood the process that you took over, the bugs fixed you fixed, but did you face any challenges? Are you covering that also as part of this? What were the major challenges that you had when we were doing this process? That will be a eye opener for us, or it will help
I
us
need
learn
to
something.
check what how each component are functioning, and so we write a robot framework test to
Okay.
test the O1 and the A1 interface, so we can check each component are they functioning well. So we mo just mod mod just modify and try to run test O1 and the A1 interface to check if they are
Intact.
cool.
Okay. Okay. That was actually you're talking about the validation part, but I'm asking the kind
Sorry.
of challenges that you face during the process, actually. Did you face any major challenges during the process, Luis, that you can think of right now? Okay. If nothing, then great. No problem. I mean,
Not sorry, I cannot be very sure.
Sure. Okay, you can continue, please. Thank you. The reason why I was asking
So
is because it's a mnemonic task. This is not an easy task. People who have worked on DMAP, I think I'm sure John will be having a smile on his face. It's not easy to rip around the code, which is actually very DMAP or I would say message bus oriented, to remove it and make it simple, right? Also, the other things that you talked about, like removal of the DB cluster to DB, all those things are major changes. So I appreciate
extremely
it.
difficult, extremely
Exactly.
difficult.
Exactly. Exactly. So people who have worked on it, like me and John, had our hands even in ONAP, so we are sure about that. So I appreciate your work, and I want to just know that the kind of challenges that you face, so that it's easy for us to avoid them in future. That's the point which I was trying to get. Yeah, but thanks a lot for your efforts, guys. Yeah, please go ahead, Luis.
I think the challenge is that I need to really know how each component are functioning. Just every component and check is the current configuration work for current component or just a history problem that remaining in the code base.
Makes sense. Yeah, that is a starting step, of course. That's the first challenge which you have to overcome. True, very true. And of course, the documentation itself is very good, right? I mean, it's something that you start somewhere and you don't know whether you're referring to the latest document or not also. That is also one problem which I see here. But you have overcome it. Thanks a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So these are the problem in just like history problem in the DMBP in the Nazi rig, and we face this. The first one is that the DMB mediator listen to the nugget. To message router topics, and at DMAP we can create topics manually, or the topic can be automatically created by the ONVS when we push an event. But DMAP mediator cannot work if any one config topic is not created at message router. So we add an ini container for DMAP mediator to create all required topics that are listed in DMAP mediator. And the second, we clean most unused configuration in RT rig hem charts, such as DMAP mediator just reconfiguration from environment variable, but in the code base there is a application config file, maybe copy from another project and then not use. And the third one is the information coordinate service will it is store data in the persistent volume, but ICS pod run as a non-root user. So the pod does not have the privilege to create file in the persistent volume. So we add an init container to change the folder owner to ICS pod user. So to fix this problem. Yeah. And the remaining part is about the how we modify the template, but I think we can check this in the code review. So I think we can skip this part. Okay, so these are all we want to share today.
Thanks a lot, Luis. Any questions for Luis, guys? Luis or Seng, I think, right? Yeah.
I have a comment, Seshu. So,
yes,
Luis, this is Shankar. I also thank you. I appreciate the work you have done. Nobody has done this cleanup till now, and it'll be very useful. I have one comment. When you say you removed, if you go back a couple of slides, disable, you had other changes. I think you disabled policy framework. So my one comment, I agree, it is SMO is currently not using it, and so that's why you clean it up, you removed it. But I wanted to raise this topic, and John and Seshu are on the call. So if you look at the SMO overall in the end goal, right, you have the non-real-time rig, which is a very important part. You have the O1 A1 interfaces, you have SDNR and SO, and all the O2 stuff will come, and the integration with Nephio will come. But one big gap is this: the ONAP policy project was trying to address it by saying, what is the policy framework for any system? And so what would be the what would handle policies inside SMO? I'm not talking about the A1 policies, but any new policies. Now, having said that, I don't think the current policy framework addresses all of that. But there is a project called ACM. And John, I would like you to comment on that, because once you start putting RApps on non-real-time RIC and you want the SMO to be fully functional, there will be something that will handle policies other than A1 policies. And I don't know if anything is in place, but...
Yes, that's okay. Correct, and it is in place.
Just keep in mind something is coming,
Yeah, no, it's there already. Yeah, we've added it. So the policy framework is included. It was disabled in this review, but you mentioned that it'll be re-enabled again. We've also include the ACM as a requirement for our new RApp manager work as well. So that's included.
And also, one thing is we have to even extend this to SMO, because the policy also is required for not just O1, A1, it's also required for O2 in future.
The existing ONAP policy framework, like, it's there available, but it's not really being used other than as part of an RApp. Non-RApp based use of the policy framework, we've no examples of it yet. Well, we did have examples of it before we started doing our apps properly, but now, when it's enabled, it's there and available for use, as is, right now.
So John, how do you interpret the fact that Louis said he has disabled the policy framework? It will be re-enabled when needed.
We've asked to have it re-enabled in the review. I think Louis, you said that you would re-enable it.
Okay. Got it.
Just one question on previous comment. Yeah. John, if I understand what I understand from what you just said, is that this policy framework right now is only for the non-RApp based things, right? It's not for everything.
Before, it was only used as, I don't know, prototyping for RApps. Now, we also now support our proper RApps, if I can call it that. They're not proper yet, they're getting there. Our new RApp approach will still also support ONAP policies as part of the app.
When you say ONAP policy, it's not rules, right? What is it that it's using usually?
It can be rules, yeah.
Rules also. You support both the old format and new format of policies of ONAP.
The new format of policies still supports rules.
Supports rules also, but they don't recommend rules. Okay, anyways. That's
yes, that's a different story. Whatever existing ONAP policy framework policies, whatever they are, can be included as part of an RApp or deployed standalone without being part of an RApp.
Okay, because we got to extend this even for the O2, which is what we are intended to, and that's what even Shankar was talking about, Nephio integration already. We are also planning that.
So the policy framework, we're just using it as is in ONAP. So if there's work to do on that, I'd suggest do as much of that as you can.
Is it part of RTRIC or is it a separate project?
Sorry, say again.
No, is it under the RTRIC? Is it under the RTRIC repo, or where is it placed right now? The policy
It's based in ONAP. We just refer to it here in these charts.
So you just get the containers from the thing and you just bring it as a third party.
Yes.
Okay, then that's fine. I mean, if it's a common policy, then it's okay. Yeah, perfect. Makes sense. Yeah.
So John, just to be clear, I think what you're saying is you've asked for it to be enabled, and so that last bullet will change, right? It says disabled policy.
The policy framework, we would like, please, for it to be re-enabled, and We will also be using the ACM TRAM functions as well as another, if they're both based in the policy project in ONAP, they're kind of two separate functions. So we want both of those functions to be available because both will be used by our work on our apps.
Right.
So
John.
we have response from Garrett that we will be available,
Yes,
but I
yes.
want to
No,
check that.
No, I saw
Yes, all
that.
these components
Oh,
are used.
okay. So you've already, yeah, this is what you mean. You've already given feedback.
Yes, so we're working through, like I say, we're working through the review on this. I haven't had a chance yet, Liz, to look at your reply to my comment, but just what briefly you flashed there, I'm thinking we need all of those, yes.
So can you, I guess since you're showing that, Luis, is there, can you just show a list of what is in there now? What all is needed for SML policy?
Okay, say again.
Yeah, I'm just asking, we are discussing what you did not need and what you removed. And so I was just asking what all is what is the current status of things that would be needed in your work? And so when you said code review, I guess that's a separate meeting or
No, we're just doing it over to Garrett,
you're doing that.
to Garrett process. I currently don't see any problem with disabling those functions, but I don't see any problem with keeping them either. If you do, unless there's a specific reason to remove them.
So I will just keep
Yeah.
the default configuration as usual.
Yeah. I'd suggest though that you. I would guess that in some deployments we would like to have the ZACML and rules PDPs as well and the policy distribution function. I'm not entirely sure what policy Nexus actually does. And the policy GUI, I don't know whether we need it or not. Probably not. Yeah. But the
Okay.
policy clamp
One
stuff.
question on this, John, how are we doing distribution part? I mean, we don't have the SDC, right? So you are doing it manually right now because policy distribution is coming from there actually, right? All the onboarding policies.
Not really. Yeah, it's more the onboarding and
Yeah,
policy
onboarding part.
administration.
Exactly.
The policy design. No, that's out of scope. So we would
Exactly.
see that
So
if
I'm sure it's out of the scope. So you have to onboard the policies, but you've got to
yeah.
onboard the policies for sure. So without distribution, you've got to do
Yeah, so
it.
if you can onboard directly into the policy framework using the policy PAP function, or you can also onboard a policy as part of an RAP, as part of the RAP onboarding process, which we haven't defined yet.
Here is the other question actually. The policy rules PDP is disabled, but policy Apex is enabled. That was the second
Yes.
point. That was the point which I was
Yeah,
asking.
I don't see. I don't see any particular reason to disable the ZACML or the Drools one,
Right.
but
See, GUI makes
they
sense
are
to
quite.
me. GUI makes sense to me. Nexus makes sense to me. Policy distribution makes sense to me. XAML app also perhaps is okay. But droops and I think Apex can be enabled. Again, if you have any rules-based thing, perhaps it can be on and off, right? That could be the case.
No, I don't know. It will really depend on a user, and
Yeah,
use cases may need these,
exactly.
and we don't have a use case currently that uses them. Okay.
That could
So,
be on and off
John,
based on. Yeah.
I don't know if I agree this about there's no use case now, but I remember there used to be some kind of rules that rules could handle, and there were certain overriding guard functions
Left of Apex. Yeah.
that was done using ZACML. But
Yeah.
it's a lot of this is old. I mean,
I think they
it's
still work though.
things can always be. Pardon?
Yeah, they still work though.
Okay.
Shekhar, that was exactly my question, right? I asked the same thing whether we support rules in XML. I mean, especially rules than the XML because the biggest problem with that we have done a lot of work on rules and the Apex has been recently introduced, right? So most of the work which we take up from the old versions of ours is rule based.
Yeah, but the existing policies written in drills do still work, and the ZACMIL ones are usually used, as you say, for guardrails
For
for other
defense.
policies,
Yeah.
or for using it for configuration of other systems. But
Or
they're
other
very use
defense.
case. Yeah, they're use case driven.
Exactly.
We don't currently have a use case that uses ZACMIL or drills. We're currently working on a sample RAP that would use APEX.
Okay.
I think we do still need policy distribution by default for anyway. And I don't know about the other two. I don't know what Policy Nexus actually does or Policy GUI.
By the
I don't
name of
know.
it, I don't think it's required. By the name of it, actually, I think it's a client part which we have. We use it for onboarding the
I think,
policy. Yeah.
yeah, no, I think it's also used for policy framework monitoring. So
Okay. Yeah.
a
I
little bit,
talk about
but I don't know.
the complete CLAMP
Yeah, it's
use. I know. I know.
no, it's 4 or 5 years since I worked on the policy framework, so I don't really know what these functions really do right now.
And on this overall topic, this issue is the SO. I'm not aware of how it's used in SMO currently, but it will be important later, right?
Yeah, SO, right now SMO has nothing. We are using it in the OM, and Martin actually is there. He has unmuted it. Perhaps he's actually ready to comment on this because OM using is, in fact, OM also is not in SO, right? It's SDNC, SDNR, in fact. That's what it uses more. Martin went on mute again, never mind. So.
I think the ONAP overrides do disable or sorry do enable or did enable most of the OEM functions that were required, but that has gotten a little bit out of date, I think.
Yeah, but SO, I mean, to answer Shankar's question, SO is not in view right now. In
Yes,
future, yes,
SO.
we will be.
Right.
Yeah,
So
Martin.
I think I
so yeah, currently we are just enabling the things we need for SDNR and disable all the rest. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to
With
me.
an override. With an override. Yeah.
Agreed, agreed, agreed. That makes sense. Shankar, I hope that answers your question, right?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. By the way, SO will come. I mean, we'll come back to SO. SO is actually in the process of getting revived. I would say shrunken down and revived. Not everything of SO is required. We are also looking
So,
at SO part. I mean, from the SMO perspective. Again, I'm not in ONAP SO. I'm seeing service orchestration with respect to SMO perspective, right? From NephIO, that also is in discussion. Maybe not for the R3 release of NephIO, but for future. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
but can I just say this kind of raises my main concern, which is in any given SMO deployment, it will be use case specific. But we're trying to define a common one here. And we will always have a case where we're not using it, but we want to keep it because we might need it later. In fact, we have. If we were to only include the stuff that's currently being used by current use cases, it would be a very short list, I think. So,
John, we had the same problem in ONAP, right? You remember, we
yeah,
had the same
exactly.
problem.
And it's, I don't think we ever found a solution in
So
ONAP,
the
which is
solution
what
for
my
that,
concern is.
the closest solution for that was keeping it there, but disabling it. You need it when you need it, you enable it. That's exactly what I did with SO, right? You see, SO, I created all the adapters. Otherwise, SO was bloating out till Casablanca and Dublin. We were bloating out SO, right? So
Yeah,
what I did
exactly.
after that is what I ripped apart SO and made the adapters, right? The different adapters. And that really solved my problem because that way I was able to actually give a streamlining of release only when there's a change in a specific component for a specific use case. I used to release it. Otherwise, I'll not release it. SO core used to get released. Other components will be on need basis. Same is the case with even the containers, right? You disable them. You enable them when you need the specific use case. Otherwise, you just keep it there. So it's easy for your configuration management. It's easy for your deployment management. It's easy for your maintenance. It's also easy for your overall understanding of how many use cases are and what's the progress of the project itself, right? So
That's fine, except didn't really work in practice though, because in there was always the case for a user who goes in, pulls down the charts that are there, presses helm install, and then goes, oh, why it doesn't work because the policy framework's not there. And you go, oh yeah, well you're supposed to disable it when before you build your charts
no,
to
but I think by
install. And
default
then
we got it disabled. I would say
I
by
know that,
default
and
we
that's
have to
that
disable
yeah
it.
that's exactly my problem, is that we ended up with a single set of default charts.
Yeah.
And if you were lucky enough to make your way into the default charts, you were good. If you were didn't make it into the default charts, it's you never existed. And
true.
So that's what I don't have a solution to that.
I agree. In fact, what I'm suggesting is the closest to the problem statement which I could see, because SO was the brain of it. It was the one which was getting the maximum tens, right? So I had spent most of the nightmares, light nights, you know, firefighting, everything in ONAP release. Whenever it was a release, it was always SO who was to blame or who used to make it live fire. After this depression out, it was easy for me. Then I could really see where the issue is. And then I could actually take the help of a specific team instead of involving everyone. Again, it was not the best solution, but it was the most optimal, and that made life easy, right, with respect to the releases. So yes, I agree to you that it's not a zero and one case. It's a gray scale, so we have to go with the gray based solution only. We cannot have a solution for this problem.
And like that's another reason, again to say that was our motivation for having our own much more flexible non-RTRIC charts, as well as having these SMO platform charts. Instead of a 1-0, we had a 1-2-1-0.
So here's the thought, and this might be sort of naive, but the process Luis is doing is in some sense finding the a common set that people might need for the full SMO. And then maybe there are tested subsets which are known to work.
So they could that's be what Shankar, profiles. What we are saying is the MVP. The MVP part is actually what is the one which will be default. Anything to add to that would be use case driven, right? That's where the users have to come and enable their own Helm charts or the components.
But as that happens, maybe that each use case, if someone might have to go searching to see what works, and if there is a simple way just to say which subsets are known to work. And
that is exactly where the trial and error is coming on. I mean, depending on the current subset or the current use case which is in view, and the contributions coming on it, right? Both the active contributions.
Like, I know this is going to get easier with the likes of Argo CD and those kind of functions, but it's still...
I mean, of course, Flux and Argo are going to solve some of it. Even Service Mesh, for that case, is going to solve some of it.
Yes, exactly.
But the long run of it, even we don't want to have everything, right? We don't want to have everything enabled, because why would you... I mean, that's the same issue which I had with ONAP, right? Where I was supposed to use a release for a 5G Super Blueprint. I don't need a VNFC or a VFC based adapter in that, HC based adapter.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So what I had clearly separated this. If a release has a 5G, Super Blueprint to be made or end to end 5G slicing, I'll only use that adapter. If a release has HC, I'll only use those adapters. So life very easy. And yes, as you said, even if the service mesh comes into picture, the enable disable can still work for me, right? That's easy for me to handle the complete release. By the way, one more thing is, with this separation, you'll also have a release management, right? I'll say for this release, this is the latest patch. So I will know what is the release which was given for a specific component, and I'll know if that use case actually made any change in that or not.
Like, to put it quite selfishly, like, when I'm running non-RTRIC functions, I don't want a whole lot of SO stuff in there, but I don't want any of my stuff disabled in the common one.
That's a very positive way of looking at it.
It's just human nature. I know, I understand that, but we need to acknowledge that that's the case, which is why I genuinely don't know a solution for how to get the perfect trade-off.
Argo City service mesh based, or even Flux, all these things are a part of the... They are going to give you... they are, I would say, catalyst in solving the problem, because they can actually give you multiple solutions to it. But we still have to figure out, because we are giving a platform, not a use case, not a product, right? So platform should be bare minimum. That's MVP.
Well, let me just come back to that. Are we providing a platform? Should we be providing a platform? And I know this comes down to the philosophy. And again, we had the same discussions in ONAP and continue to have that same discussions. Should we even be should we put a whole heap of focus into having one platform? I know.
The moment
actually,
you say
I'm not,
product, the moment you say product, my friend, God bless you.
Yeah, exactly. I have no intention of trying to provide a product. No,
Onap, I think Onap went through this discussion that
exactly.
it is not providing a platform anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
and
anymore.
They
exactly.
don't want to end up doing
exactly.
that.
Yeah. No, but platform, okay. No, but okay. I want to correct on it. By platform, I don't mean a common platform. Okay, let me say that way. I don't want to say this is a platform which can do everything. By platform, I mean a stage. By platform, I mean a stage where we are all coming together. That's what I mean by platform. Not as a software term, but as English term.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Sorry, I'm distracting here. Please. No. Sorry for hijacking.
I'm slightly optimistic because one of the reasons is I think till now there wasn't what Luis is doing, right? There wasn't a focused effort on what all do you need for an SMO. There was the SMO package work, but its philosophy was different. It was and so now this common discussions between OSCE and ONAP and FEO, I think there will be more focus on what parts do you need to make it work.
Right.
And so
and
it still
exactly
doesn't have to be a platform. It can still be combinations of known components which work and then known subsets which also work.
Right. Because
if you're doing O2 based work, maybe you say I don't need to enable the whole near real time like A1 and all that stuff because I'm focused on FEO and O2.
Right.
And similarly somebody's doing OEM work, they said I won't tell. So I guess what was missing is there was no one keeping track of all the dependencies overall, and
true,
this
true,
work
true.
is a step in that direction.
I have to cut you short, sorry, because sorry for that. I agree with you, Shankar, but that's the point which we'll discuss in next meeting. I think now we are already time up. Luis, first of all, thanks a lot. I think it was Seng also who is actually helping you with this. Thanks a lot. It's a great work. We all appreciate you from bottom of our heart. It's a good start to remove what is not required so that we can see where we stand and take it on. Thanks a lot, buddy. And we are all committed to help you out as and when required. Thanks a lot for this. Any questions to Luis? Yeah, I see people clapping.
I have a final question.
Yeah, please.
We are not familiar with the in file license. So should I add the copyright 2024 to all file I have modified?
No, please just ignore those the comment about the copyright site. Sorry, I meant to reply to those comments. As needed, we'll add our own copyrights anywhere we change. You should probably add your copyright to any of the files that you change. I don't know if you have a common template for your university or whatever when you submit stuff to open source, but
no, perhaps this question I would say is, Luis, you can take it to Rao, right? That he's a light guy, LFN guy. So you can take it to Rao so that he can be the right guy for this, Luis. I think that will be that question should go to Rao from LFN perspective.
Yeah.
You have his idea, I guess, right? Sridhar Rao. Luis, do you have his email ID?
Sridhar
Rao. You have his ID, John?
I'll have it in 1 second.
Meanwhile, John, you can paste it. And thanks a lot, Luis. So if you can stop the share, please. I want to hand it over to. You're still there, Toshi? Toshi, you're still there? Toshi?
Now, meeting time is over. So.
So you want to be quick? I mean, how long you require, Toshi, for this? You want to keep it for next week or?
Next week?
Yeah, next week. Next week, we'll start from your topic. If it's okay with you.
Okay, very sure what I should drop meeting as soon as possible. So if you're okay, I will send the email to you and
Meanwhile, we'll catch up on that and we'll review it offline and then we'll come back to this, Toshi. That should be really fine.
Okay.
That worked really well in the past, so that should not be a problem. So next week, we'll actually discuss about these two topics. I'm sorry for the time today. And by the way, it was a good discussion. Thanks a lot, Luis and friends. So next week, we will discuss about the upcoming release and also the Nephew integration part, which are critical for us to take on. Okay. Yes. So by the way, Luis, you can see srao at linuxfoundation.org. He's the right guy to talk about the copyright. Okay. That's for you, Luis. You can see in the chat. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, you can
see. I see. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. So he's the right guy because he's coming from LFN. He'll be the right guy to answer the licensing part. That's all for this week, guys. Thanks a lot. And we'll see you in the next meeting, which will be 2 weeks from now. Thanks a lot and be safe. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.